Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brad. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. But today I'm Bammer Mike, and there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane, or as I'm calling him, the Gump. Gump Shane, what's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man. One team preview in the book.
Yeah.
Maybe the best damn one right here, upcoming, Shane, because it's Alabama. No, we will not use the decaying D word. Not on this podcast, not on this, Cameron.
let's read the comments while he figures this out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes. Liquid Flame said, Auburn hacked Mike.
And Cameron says, saying the dynasty shut down the whole show.
Decaying internet.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened just here, but it doesn't matter. So just like Kalen DeBoer year one, that was a little hiccup on to greatness for year two. That's where we're at with Alabama fall camp preview series. How's it going, buddy?
It's going great, man. Going great. It was a hot one today, brother. I tell you what, it was very hot. I tried something unusual today, Mike. And I know you probably heard of it because you eat all this fancy stuff. But have you ever heard of Birria de Reyes? I may be saying this wrong, but it's kind of like a beef. It's like a taco that you dip in brown sauce, you know? Does that make sense? Dude, fantastic. I don't even know if that's how you say it, but my mind was blown. Didn't even know this thing existed. I was Googling. It said it has like Chihuahua cheese. Didn't even know that was a thing. I don't think it's a real dog. I think it's just like some sort of cheese they make.
Okay.
But yeah, it was fantastic. Have you had it?
What's that got to do with Alabama?
I don't have anything to do with them.
Oh, okay.
I guess below the border there, you know? So,
yeah.
You asked how my day was. Damn, I gave you the highlight of it and you just shit on it, Mike. So, all right, let's just talk about Alabama.
Oh, here it is. Dudley says it's Berea. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not unfamiliar with Chihuahua cheese or anything.
Brother, I'm telling you, you come back, we're getting some. We're getting three of them bad boys. But other than that, doing good.
I'm going to give a lot. And now we lost Shane. I kicked his ass out of here for talking that nonsense. I don't know what. I think it was his internet. It wasn't my internet. How dare he? I think we both have good internet. I don't know what the hell's going on. But, yeah, geez, Luis, they don't serve that at Cracker Barrel. I guess Shane is out here trying new restaurants. What's up, Headless Ace? But here, hey, as we wait for Shane, I don't know where he went. Maybe he quit because I made fun of his tacos. Let's quickly recap what happened in Alabama last year. Went 9-4, Kalen DeBoer's debut season, the first season, post-Nick Saban. And, you know, they had some nice wins. Georgia was awesome. They looked like the team to beat. Jalen Milroe looked like he was going to win the Heisman Trophy after beating Georgia. But then what happened? Then we have a setback. Literally every big win we had last year, we followed it with an embarrassing loss. Beat Georgia, lose to Vanderbilt. Beat South Carolina in an epic game, lose to Tennessee. Whooped LSU's ass. You thought they're back, playoff bound. What's up? They were actually going to the SEC Championship. Then they got their ass kicked by Oklahoma. Oh, they rebound. They win the Iron Bowl. Then they look pathetic as I've ever seen in a damn bowl game, lost to Michigan. So that was year one, capped right there, Shane. It was up and down. There were some highlights. There were certainly some lowlights. But I think we got that all out of our system. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I mean, again, year one coach here. And we end, 9-3? So I feel like, you know, there's some naysayers, I think, because they point out the three games they lost and how they lost, because it was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing. Bama fans are not used to that. But honestly, I feel like they really could have came out here worse. So year one under their belt, year two, I think this is a big season for Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Cousin David, I can't get the comments to work now either, Shane. I don't know what's going on, but Cousin Tony says Shane had to go out and get a bite.
Yeah. Well, maybe this worked. Can you see that one? That
yes, sir. I can see it because he's back.
Cousin JR.
JR's back again. I don't know if you can hear that sound effect. I couldn't hear it. I don't know what in the world. Is there something going on with the world? Is Alabama taking over here? That doesn't matter because JR has gifted Shane Ags 23. Ags,
welcome to the family.
And then what about this legend over here, Shane? Steven Up. He just gifted 5.
Mike, I don't know what you're doing, but you gifted. Thank you, Steven, for gifting 5 memberships. I don't have it listed. What the hell are we doing here? I'm telling you, I think Mike said Decaying Dynasty too much last year that he can't get over it. He's still got to pick them. He's got to kick them while they're down. But Steven Up, I appreciate you. And as soon as we get those names, I'll be sure to list those. You got those 5, Mike?
Yes, sir. I read them once. I'll read them again. I don't think anybody can hear me. Be Creepy. Yeah. Eugene, Caleb, Jake S., Craig Goodwin, and Jonathan Anderson.
Welcome to the family.
Shane, what the hell's going on here? Are we getting hacked here?
Maybe. I mean, there are some bad storms out there. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but yes.
It's not even raining here.
Well, we just had a big one come through here. So,
Yeah.
Just be safe. I don't know, but it seems to be running now. Just needed a hard reset there.
Austin Miller says, hey, cousins, first time catching you all live. Go Cox. Do not let this be an indication of how the show is run. It's usually a little bit more smooth than this.
Oh, a lot smoother than this, man. All right. Back to business. Steven, JR, I appreciate you, cousins. Welcome some new family members. And we at least got them for another month. They can't get out of the family for at least 30 days. So.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, there it goes.
Yeah, okay. I can even hear that. All right, back to the program, Shane, again. Caleb Boer, year 2 at Bama. Again, not quite what we thought we were getting, but here's his updated against the SEC. And again, these graphics will look a lot better, Shane, once we have a little bit coaches that have actually been in the league a little bit longer than one season here. Yeah. But hell, beat Georgia, beat LSU, beat Auburn. That's a sign that every Alabama fan wants to see. What you don't want to see is losing to Tennessee, losing to Vanderbilt, and them damn pesky Sooners kept you out of the college football playoff. So there's work to be done. Yeah. But again, even in a down year, we still had a winning record. In the conference, there's many, many, many coaches that can't say the same in their first year coaching in this league. You know what?
No, absolutely. I think that's, again, I'm looking at this. It's so funny. If I told you Alabama had 3 losses last year, the last 3 you would pick are the ones that actually won. You know what I'm saying?
So, right.
What a wild season, man.
Hey, shout out cousin Brandon Riley, Shane.
Yeah.
He just gave us $10. He says, I'm late. Sorry. My girlfriend told me I had to mow the lawn before I watched the podcast. You know what? That sounds like a wonderful woman right there. Just got to get your chores done before you get to have some fun. You know what?
Absolutely. She may have been part of the reason we had internet issues. I don't know. She good at IT stuff.
And then, hey, we got another one, Shane. Da-da-da-da. Let's see. Luis, girl no, crazy.
Oh, okay.
Hook 'em. I love being part of the family. I think we got a little hook 'em here. Man, I need to do a better job with our. Yeah, here we go.
Hook 'em horns.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luis. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz. Texas is leading right now for the next preview. So I appreciate all the donations. That would definitely help us get better internet here.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to lead with that, Shane. We probably should have. Whoever get the highest. Bitter essentially will get the next team preview. So right now it's going to be Texas. Thanks to old cousin Luis down there, gave us a $20 donation. So yeah. Texas, you're all deck for now, Shane. But all right. How about new coordinators? We do have a big one here, Shane. Ryan Grubb, offensive coordinator, was supposed to be our offensive coordinator last season, but he got hired in the NFL and he's back. But you might say, well, hell, he went to the NFL 1 year. What did he do? Did he completely flame out? I'm not a big NFL watcher, Shane.
Yeah.
And I think your cat is, though. But Geno Smith, over 4,000 passing yards. Geno Smith's been a quarterback in the NFL for 11 seasons, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
He set career highs for completions, completion percentage, and he had 21 touchdowns. So, again, Brian Grubb didn't go to the NFL and fall flat on his face. I think the entire coaching staff got let go, I think. I really don't know. But he's back in college. That's all that matters. He was with DeBoer at Washington. He was the offensive coordinator. They had this guy, Shane. Oh, you might have heard of him. Michael Penix, just a Maxwell winner, just led Washington to the national championship game. They didn't win the game, but he made it to the national championship. And we got this elite receiver that we're going to talk a lot about, Ryan Williams, right?
Yeah.
Well, they had one down there in Washington, Shane, named Roma Dunze, who had 92 catches, over 1,600 yards, and 13 touchdowns. So Ryan Grubb not only knows how to coach a quarterback, he knows how to get the most out of an elite receiver. Mm-hmm. And he was also offensive coordinator down at Fresno under Kalen DeBoer. And again, if you look at old Kalen DeBoer's record, I mean, what's the outlier here? I mean, obviously the COVID year, but the 1 year he didn't have Ryan Grubb, you know, things went a little sideways. The 3 years he had him before that, they were outstanding on the offensive side of the football. So if I'm an Alabama fan, I'm sitting here saying Ryan Grubb is the missing link.
Yeah.
That and Jalen DeBoer or Jalen Milroe not making all these mistakes. I mean, that's a double whammy right there. You know what?
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, you talked about this on the last list that we did about how many people were trying to get this cat and the fact that, he's going to be down there in Tuscaloosa, I don't know. I believe that makes life a little bit easier for Kalen because you think about some of the programs, the stops that he's made, it's probably been a little bit easier to be a head coach, play caller, that style. You know what I'm saying? But Alabama's a totally different animal. You've got to have that CEO role, and I feel like this is a perfect fit for him because now, you know, Kalen can now take advantage of the extra time here.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's jump into the returning production, Shane, for them Crimson Tide this season, and this is another reason for optimism down there. 52% of the offense of production from last year is back. That's number 7 in the SEC, where they're really struggling, though, passing yards, just 6% back. That's Ty Simpson. He had 167 passing yards. The last season, we're bringing back 46.5% of our rushing yards. That is 11th in the SEC. So, again, J.M. Miller's back. He had 668 rushing yards. But after that, it's quite a drop-off here. Richard Young, 146 yards, and Daniel Hill, 61 yards. But where we're really going to shine, Shane, is receiving. Bringing back over 72% of our receiving production. That's number 2 in the SEC with the All-American Ryan Williams leading the way as a dynamic true freshman. Jeremy Bernard is back. He actually led the team in catches last season with 50. We have an outstanding tight end in Josh Cuevas. And then J.M. Miller, running back, is actually 4th. So, again, it's kind of star-studded at receiver.
Yeah.
We got a transfer coming in, too, that we'll get to in a little bit here. And then on the offensive line, 65.4% of the offensive line snaps are back. That's another reason to really like the Tide. Number 5 in the SEC in terms of offensive line snaps returning. And we have 3 offensive linemen with over 500 snaps last year on the field back for the Tide. So a lot, if you could overlook quarterback, a lot of signs that Crimson Tide are going to be really good on offense this year.
Yeah, and I think that's why there's a lot of excitement down there, you know, because people just dub Ty being up, you know, and we'll get to the rest of the depth chart there in the quarterback room. But, you know, I do think that everyone down there feels like Ty's a serviceable quarterback, maybe even a great quarterback that's bid his time. And you pair that with all this returning offensive line, you know, like you said, the star-studded guys that you got in the wide receiver room. Yeah, there's reason for excitement down there because this isn't a rebuild anymore. It's almost like a reload, and that's why we were so excited about the portal, which you're about to get to as well.
Right. So let's jump to the returning production on a defensive side of the football, Shane, again. And now here's where I'm really excited about Alabama. Over 68% of the production on a defensive side of the football. That's number 3 in the entire conference back over 62% of the tackles. That's number five in the league. Mm-hmm. Tackles for loss, over 65% back. That's number three in the conference. Interceptions, over 82%. That's number three in the conference. Passes defended, 66%. That's number six in the SEC. Now, defensive line. Shade loves that defensive line. Over 63%. That is number three in the SEC. And then now more than ever, Shane, defensive back snaps also important as the game is, as you know, we spread, it's more wide open offenses. Mm-hmm. You want to have experienced defensive backs. Over 70% of the defensive, 70% of the defensive back snaps from last year are back, number four in the SEC. So just point being there, they are loaded all across the board with production back on the defensive side of the football.
Yes, yes. And this is, you know, as exciting as you get about the offense, when you talk to people that are closer to this program, this is the side of the football they are most excited about. And, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of inside folks telling me that this may be one of the best defenses, not only in this conference, but in the country. So a lot of returning production, a lot of people in the right places. This could be a scary, scary good defense this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, as for the transfer portal, we didn't, there's good and bad, Shane, where we didn't really have to get into the portal because I think they're so pleased with what they have. They had no one leave during the spring portal window. They had 24 transfer out, though, in December. They had 11 transfer in. And again, on 3 and 24, they're way different. I'm trying to get down to how they get these rankings, but on 3's got this as a 62-ranked transfer class. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, 24/7 Sports has got this ranked as the number 21 portal class. So we're going to go with 24/7 again here, Shade. We got one hell of a linebacker out of Colorado who was second team all Big 12. I'm going to butcher this, but Nyquil Hill-Green, mm-hmm. he led the team last year, second on the team last year, 82 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for loss, two sacks. And then here's a guy everybody's excited about down there, Shane, Isaiah Horton, receiver out of Miami, 56 catches, 616 yards, five touchdowns. Then they got a corner from Utah, Cameron Calhoun. He was very productive there at Utah. We got Cam Dewberry, offensive lineman from Texas A&M, who appeared in 38 games for the Aggies with eight starts. We got a defensive lineman, Kelby Collins from Florida. He played in 18 games and had 29 tackles. And we got some depth pieces at running back and tight end. So again, this is not a star-studded transfer portal class, but you didn't need that either. So there's two ways to look at it. I would rather not be so reliant on a transfer portal class. I would rather just bring in guys to be kind of depth pieces, and that's kind of what Alabama did here.
Yeah, I mean, emphasis in competitive depth. You know, these are guys that can easily come in and there not be a drop. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Bama did a great job. Not only I for me, Mike, it was also what they retained. You know what I'm saying? This is a team that really could have been gutted. You see this a lot of times with first-year coaches. There's kind of that layover in some of those kids. They stick in there, and then as soon as that second window opens up, bam, they're gone, you know? I feel like Kalen really did a great job preventing kids from jumping into the portal and shoring up a few positions. So yeah, great, great job in the offseason here.
Yeah, you know who else is doing a great job in the offseason, Shane? Cousin Brandon. He's back with a $20 donation. So he's giving us $30. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah. So your team, and I'll mow his lawn next time.
Brandon, who is your team? I think it's Mizzou, but let us know for sure because your team is now in the lead. Absolutely. Who gets the next preview series.
Yeah, or we'll let him pick, you know. We'll let him pick who he doesn't want to go over. So,
yeah. And then I don't want to get too deep into the weed shade with recruiting.
Yeah.
Because, again, the older I get, the less I pay attention to that and more I pay attention to the transfer portal. But Bama did sign the number three recruiting class in the country. That's the good news. Guess where number three in the nation ranks you in the SEC?
Where?
number three in the SEC. Come on, we got so many dominant teams down here. But we got a five-star quarterback, Keelan Russell. He could be a phenomenal. He could play this year. We'll see about that. He was number two quarterback prospect. Number one interior offensive line prospect, Michael Carroll. Number four corner, Dejon Lee. And then the number two running back, Alklin Deer. I'm sure I butchered that. But I'm just highlighting those guys because we're talking elite prospects. And if there are going to be true freshmen that see the field, it'll probably be some combination of those guys right there for Alabama, because we're already pretty loaded to where we shouldn't be relying on a lot of true freshmen.
Yeah, but there will be some that pop off. And you know, I we'll talk about a few here in a little bit, but this is, you know, I know you don't like to talk about recruiting, but there are some dudes on here, man, that I don't see how you keep away from the football field. It may not be at the start of the season, but watch toward the end of the season. This is a team that is sneaky good with the young athletes. So I feel like Bama's got a few, maybe not another wide receiver like they had stashed away last year, but you never know. There'll be some guy pop off.
Yep. Hey, shout out Brandon. He's an Ole Miss fan. I apologize. So Ole Miss.
Ooh, howdy, howdy.
Is the team to beat. Man, I can't wait to talk some Lane Kiffin. You know what?
Yeah. It may be his burner, you know, when his girlfriend told him to mow. I mean, it's starting to make sense now. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Shay, the projected depth chart for the Alabama Crimson Tide. So I see a lot of Bold here. Bold was a returning starter. The Crimson, that is an incoming transfer. So again, not a ton of transfers here. Mm-hmm. And as far as ranking the position group, Shane, it's a little top heavy, but I'm still going receiver with Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, outstanding players back. The transfer Isaiah Horton, you know, that's your projected starting lineup. And then a little bit of a drop off here with the backups, Jalen Hill, Cole Adams. And then here's a name to know, Shane, Jalen Makube. I'm sure I butchered that, but he was a defensive back last year. Mm-hmm. They switched him to receiver during the bowl game. So he's an elite prospect, but so technically this will be his second year with the Tide, but first year at receiver. So I don't know quite what to make of him. You know, could he be a standout? He could be, but he could need more time. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And then, all right. So the second position group, Shane, I'm going to offensive line. We got outstanding center Parker Brailsford back. He was second team All-American. We got the left tackle, Caden Proctor, second team, all SEC. Jaden Roberts is back. He 12 starts last year. And then we got some nice depth pieces here. So I think the offensive line should be really strong for the Crimson Tide this fall. And then I'm going quarterbacks. Now that might be a little bit of a curveball because that's all I hear about with Alabama, Shane, is, well, who's going to play quarterback? Well, the fact that they got multiple options. I mean, that's just not something you have in today's day and age. We got Ty Simpson. We got Keelan Russell. We even got Austin Mack, who is a four-star recruit. So
yeah,
to have three different options, I think iron sharpens iron, Shane. I know that's like a coaching cliche, but I'd rather have, you know, three guys that are capable and you'll take the best one than having, you know, there's some teams that have like one guy. And then, Lord, let's hope nothing happens to that guy, because if he does, we're screwed. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a handful of I'm looking at my team. You know?
I didn't want to say it, but I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But I do like the competition at quarterback. I'd love that. And what was the other saying? The tide rises all ships or something like that, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pun intended there.
You're too good, Shane. You're too good.
I've been sitting on that one for a while. It's like, how am I going to work this one in today?
And then last but not least, I'm going running backs. And again, this is a pretty decent group here too. Jam Miller, again, he's no slouch. Yeah. Richard Young, Daniel Hill was an elite prospect. And then we got a transfer from Louisiana coming in here. And oh, by the way, the number two running back prospect Deer in the country. So we could legitimately go five deep at running back. And if that's our weak point, and that's not even the right word, but our lowest ranked position group, I think we're sitting pretty in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Yeah. We're sitting very nice. Very nice. It still blows my mind. This is a year two coach, but he is, I mean, he is coaching at Alabama. So he did kind of walk into a good situation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Defense, Shane. Now here's, again, this where we could really, really shine for this season in Tuscaloosa, yeah. Shane. I'm going strongest unit, defensive backs. We talked about it. Bringing back four starters. Now, I know. Last we were doing the Oklahoma one, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you said you've never been called a cheetah. They had a cheetah position. Well, Alabama's got the Husky. I know you and I both have both been called the damn Huskies before, so maybe we could play down there in Alabama.
That was a nice way of saying fat when you're in the third grade, you know? That big bone, you know?
Oh, yeah. So I've been called that many a time. But they got a Husky position down here, and I like what we're doing at defensive back. We got some standouts here. This may be the best defensive backfield in the entire SEC. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a close second, Shane, I like these linebackers. With Dante Lawson, he was all SEC last year. Justin Jefferson, he came in from JUCO last year. He had 60 tackles. He's a solid player. And we've got Quay Rousseau, who he started a couple games last year. So did Latham. So, I mean, we got some experience. We got some talent. Linebackers should be very good, including the Colorado transfer, Green. Mm-hmm. It should be an impact player year one. And then the defensive line, and I'm really just putting the defensive line last. Not because they're bad, but because the other two units are so good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, this defense, I don't think it has a lot of holes. I really don't. I would expect this to be at worst a top five defense in the conference this year.
Which would put them top five in the country probably. So yeah. This is a mistake eraser, you know. So we talk about quarterback situations. You know, when you got a defense like this that you can lean on, you've seen it last year. I saw it with Ole Miss. I saw it with Tennessee. There were some games that kind of got out of hand on the offensive side, but the defense was able to step in and kind of bow up. I feel like that's what Bama's going to have this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane. How about the biggest camp questions? Them Alabama Crimson Tide. And, you know, I think it's just too easy to say, is Ty Simpson, is he, you know, how good is he going to be starting quarterback? But how about this one, Shane? I've not heard anybody ask this. Is Ty Simpson ready to be Alabama's quarterback? And what do I mean by that? I mean all the stuff off the field, you know, being the center of attention all across, I was going to say campus, but really the state and in college football, everything that goes with that. I know his dad is a college coach. So, again, I'm sure he's been trained up well, but it's easy to be the backup.
Yeah.
Now you're in that spotlight. Everything you do on and off the field is being judged, is being critiqued. God forbid if he tweets out the wrong thing, you know, it's on three, he's got a graphic for you. You know what I mean? So how ready is Ty Simpson to be Alabama's quarterback? I think that is a big question going into fall camp.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. I mean, because again, if you have a bad game, and even if it's the receiving corps' fault, you know what I'm saying? They're going to blame Ty. And I feel like he's going to be under a microscope coming into the season anyway because of what's behind him, too. You just talked about how loaded that quarterback room is. There's always going to be the grass is greener conversation out there. So, yeah, a lot of pressure coming into this season to perform.
Now, pressure. That's the perfect word, Shane, for old Kalen DeBoer, I think. Again, is this guy cut out to coach in the SEC? He may be the best coach in college football, but he may be a poor fit at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my second big question for the Tide entering fall. How ready is Kalen DeBoer for all the pressure that's coming his way? If, God forbid, he drops another game like a Vanderbilt that he shouldn't. How will he respond? Will he recover? I think that's a $1 million question.
Yeah. And do you feel better though, with the off season acquisitions, you know, do you feel a little bit better about that coaching room? Because, you know, I don't want to keep saying grub, but you know, it just feels like that helps a little bit.
I think the fact that it's not so chaotic.
Yeah.
Last offseason with the portal and Saban leaving, and it was just constantly, you know, Nick Saban's gone. I think now that all that madness is behind him, I think that'll really help Kalen DeBoer more than anything else. And I think we're already starting to see the effects of that when the spring window, they lost no scholarship players.
Yeah.
So now I feel like everyone's bought in. They lost like 20 guys in the December portal. I think those are guys mainly that didn't fit into what he was wanting.
Yeah.
And there were some good players. So I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but sometimes you can lose players. If they were not bought into what he was trying to do,
right,
then they were not going to help you this fall anyway, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And how close is Nick Saban allowed to get to the field this year? Is he even allowed in the stadium? Because he's replaced the parent cam. You know?
And then for all the questions about the quarterback, Shane, I'm wondering if they surrounded the quarterback with enough weapons. I know Ryan Williams, elite. Jeremy Bernard, maybe the most underrated receiver in the SEC. Those guys, no questions about. But maybe a little bit at running back, maybe a little bit at tight end, maybe depth at receiver.
Yeah.
Have they surrounded the quarterback with enough pieces to make a big run here? Let's say we get in a shootout with Georgia or LSU or Tennessee or whoever the hell it is. Do they have the pieces to go up and down the field in a high-scoring game? I think that is fair to question as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I can't argue with that. I mean, it's almost like I wrote these questions, Mike, you know?
I think, yeah, I'm just reading off your notes. And the last one on Shane's notes is this defense. Are they capable of getting to elite status?
Yes.
Again, they had their moments last year, but they also had their moments of inconsistency. And I'm thinking of Vanderbilt. I'm thinking of Oklahoma, which I know was not all on them. But again, they kind of let Jackson Arnold go up and down the field on them. We can't have in a 12-team playoff, I guess you could have one performance like that, but you have two.
Yeah.
I don't know. This defense has got to be the backbone of this team. I think it may take a couple weeks for the offense to find its footing with a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. So the defense got to be maybe not elite from day one, but I think within the first couple of weeks, they got to get to that elite status if this team is going to make the college football playoff.
Only thing I'd pair that with too is leadership, because like you mentioned in the Vanderbilt game, there was lack of that out there on the football field. You know, there wasn't a guy that just took over and got them boys in check. It just kept getting uglier and uglier. It's almost like a temper tantrum. If you got a kid, you'd understand. But I just feel like that's exactly what Alabama has got to have too, is a couple dudes on both sides of the football that step up and basically be the coach on the field.
Hey, bad news, Shane, from Ashley Schaefer, BMW. After this season, Bama will get Gary Danielson back on staff.
You bite your damn tongue, I swear.
All right, so time for the schedule breakdown, Shane, before we get down to the week-by-week predictions.
Yep.
Here's the schedule. Again, we've been showing it all offseason, but here's an updated look of it. 9.5 is the over-under. Odds to win the SEC, Shane, 5-1 for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and national championship 10-1. I think some people are pretty surprised that it's 10-1. I mean, of course, when it was Saban, it was like 2-1 every year, but 10-1. Give me those odds any day of the week. So here's my thoughts, Shane, on the win loss toss for them Alabama Crimson Tide. You let me know if I'm mistaken.
You got the wrong one up there.
Oh, wait, sorry. Whoops, spoilers. But win, loss, or toss here, Shane. I'm going, I think Florida State, I got 9 games that should be wins. Florida State, ULM, Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, at Mizzou, Tennessee, at South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Eastern Illinois. Any of those 9 that you say, oh, pump the brakes a little bit?
Yeah, Tennessee. And I'm not saying that. It's just, it's a rivalry, and Tennessee's, you know, they got them last year. I thought about Florida State there for a second, but I do think that should be a win. But the other ones I'm pretty good with here.
Okay. So then games that are likely to be losses?
Yeah.
I don't have any, Shane. Not a damn one for this Alabama Crimson Tide.
No, I don't either.
But that does mean I got some toss-ups here. So I got at Georgia as a toss-up. LSU I have as a toss-up.
Yep.
And at Auburn is a toss-up.
Yeah.
And you would add Tennessee to that.
I'd add Tennessee, and I thought about adding Florida State, but I'm just going to do Tennessee.
What about Mizzou?
No. They already saying Shane hates Mizzou. And it's like you can't watch this and then not realize that this is their show. You know, wait till Mizzou gets around. You'll like the way that one looks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's get into the week by week. Predictions here, Shane. Again, Florida State.
Can I again reminder? Mm-hmm. This is coming from an optimist. Like you talk about a ceiling. That's the way I look at this, Mike. What is their ceiling? And so, as a fan, optimistically, that's how we're kind of breaking down this record, if you will, this season. Because there'll be some you'll be like, wait a minute, you bastards, you gave us a win on that one, but bump the brakes. This is from Alabama standpoint.
Yeah, if things got to break your way, right?
Yeah.
We can't have an injuries at receiver. I think that would be devastating. Mm-hmm. We probably need a running back to really step up.
Yeah.
We obviously need quarterback to hit, you know, things of that nature. So these things are breaking Alabama's way.
Yeah.
How do we see it going down? And again, we got on the road at Florida State's tricky, Shane. I've called it a hot seat extravaganza, and it will be. I think whoever loses that game, good luck. Good luck to that coach, because the fans are going to eat his ass alive. And the fact that it's at Florida State doesn't really help. But Florida State, Shane, went 2-10 last year. our buddy Steven Lassen, the SS, and he's got Florida State as the number 7 team, not in the country, in the ACC. Come on. And they got a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, and one returning starter on offense, Shane, and it's a freaking tight end. Get the hell out of here. We're starting the year with a big old win.
Yeah, it's a shame they don't have a punter, because they're going to need him several times during this football game, Mike.
Yeah, that I'm not even going to waste time, Shane. ULM.
That's
Steven's,
a win.
Steven's got this as the number 116 team in the country.
Oh.
That's an easy win there for the Crimson Tide. So we're off to a 2-0 start. But Wisconsin, it's a nice story. I remember growing up, Shane, that was always a difficult game. Remember Ron Dane, Jonathan Taylor, and the other guy, Melvin Gordon. That was fantastic. RBU, huh? now they're damn lost. You come on, this is at home. They weren't even competitive on the road. Alabama's cruising to 3-0, right?
Yeah, that was probably like the least amount I watched a Wisconsin game was last year against Bama. I was like, ugh, it's this disgusting. Why are they on the schedule?
Now, we'll have 2 weeks to prepare, Shade, for at Georgia. But also, Georgia will get 2 weeks to prepare. Isn't it funny how the SEC always does that? Like,
oh, coincidence.
No one's going to get an advantage for a game like that.
Like the Bama LSU game we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. So, 2 weeks to prepare. I realize, Shane, Alabama owns Georgia's ass. And we thought maybe that would end when old Nick Saban turned in his papers and went to go live on the lake with Miss Terry. And then here comes Kalen DeBoer and beats Kirby Smart. I mean, I'm still stunned by that result. You know what?
Yeah.
So the voodoo is real. But I don't know if I try not to pick games based on voodoo, if that makes sense. So we're playing Georgia. We're playing in Athens. If there's one game that Kirby and his staff, Shane, are probably like still butthurt about, it's probably not even Notre Dame. It's probably Alabama. Because if you remember, Alabama jumped out to, I think it was like 21-0. They just went up and down the damn field on them. I think they're going to be more prepared for old Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. And even being an Alabama fan here on this episode, I think if you win it, you're overjoyed, and that can happen. I'm not going to say you're going to get blown out, but I got to give that one to Georgia.
Yeah, I see exactly where you're coming from, Mike. And you know what, this could be the biggest game of the year. You know what I'm saying? This could really change who gets in the playoffs. It could change who gets in the SEC championship. I think there's a lot riding on this football game. Not as much as there was last year, you know, but one of the things I did like about this one from an Alabama side is that you got Georgia early, because just as many question marks coming into this one will be the Bulldogs. I think they're equal talent. You know, some can argue one has better than the other, but I do think that this may come down to a little bit of home advantage. So I'm with you, Mike. I got to give it to the damn Tide. Sunday ain't losing to Georgia. Don't lose to Georgia. Come on. What games have you been watching? It don't take Greg Danielson to tell you who's going to win this damn ball game.
Yeah, I, quite honestly, Shane, I wouldn't be stunned by that. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't be stunned by it. So I can see it going either way. If we're beating Georgia in Athens, I think it's too early to punch our ticket to the playoff, but we might as well punch it already. You know what?
Yes, absolutely. And I do. I think week four after a bye, there's not a better time to get the Georgia Bulldogs. I worry if Alabama would have played Georgia week 12, I think we may have had a different outcome. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is good for them Tide boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is good, Shane?
What's that?
Horton hears you. Come on, buddy, Horton.
Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
This time, Shane, it's guys. Farmer Stooley. Farmer, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of old Horton hears you. What a guy that Horton is. You know what?
Oh, Horton, I love it, man. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate you.
All right, so, Shane, back to the week-by-week predictions. We split it on Georgia, but again, we got Vanderbilt. Oh, buddy! Last we heard, Jay, they're gonna smash it with a sledgehammer, nerve insects or whatever Ryan Williams said. So they're already talking the talk. Diego Pavia, though, is not to be disrespected. Shane, upset city. Vanderbilt's losing by 30 points. Come on, get the hell out of here. Come on. There's no way Vanderbilt's going to do this 2 years in a row, not in Tuscaloosa.
No, the worst thing that could have happened is I'm not saying that they won't have a bullseye on them, and I'm talking about Vanderbilt, but Avia coming out here and talking shit on Instagram and everything. This is fuel. This is fuel that the Tide needs to not overlook this game. I guarantee you they're going to come prepared for this one. This one's going to be an awesome, awesome matchup. I can't wait to see it, but you're right. I do think the Tide wins big here.
Yeah. Now, at Mizzou, tricky game, Shane, because I don't know what the hell to make of Missouri. They could be undefeated at this point in time. Quite frankly, they probably should be. If they can get over South Carolina, they'll be undefeated heading into this football game. So, but I don't know. I think this is going to be a very, very difficult game. But if I'm an Alabama fan, Shane, I'm saying, God, we whoop this team by 34, nothing. What did we?
Yeah.
And it was so disrespectful. If you remember, Missouri actually did get a drive late in the game. Bama had their backups in, and Bama called timeout and said, hell, let's put the starters back in. We ain't letting Mizzou score on us. They'll score in this game, but they ain't going to score enough. Give me Alabama on the road, beat Missouri. I like Bama to get out to 5-1 record.
Tricky game, man. And it could be the Vanderbilt-esque game of 24. You know what I'm saying? Because Tide fans are not worried at all about Mizzou, but they weren't worried about Vanderbilt last year either. And they showed you watch the games that Alabama lost, the Tennessee game, the Vanderbilt game, the Oklahoma game. It was a lot of keep away, man. It was a lot of keep the run going, you know, aggressive defense. Mizzou has been known to be able to do that. So you can't overlook them, but you know, we're Tide fans today, Mike. We're going to overlook them. We're going to smash them. So give me a big win here for the Roll Tide.
All right, now it gets potentially tricky, Shane. That was on the road, Mizzou. Now we're coming back home for Tennessee, who's beating us 2 out of 3. Shane reminds me daily of that. Tennessee's beat us 2 out of 3 down here. But again, I really think Alabama's taking a step up this year. I think Tennessee's taking a step down. Now, again, you could argue Tennessee – They really took it to Alabama in the first half 2 years ago when it was in Tuscaloosa. So Tennessee, I think, will come into this game with a lot of confidence. I don't think this will be easy by any stretch. I mean, this could be a four quarter or even an overtime type game. Yeah. But come on. Tennessee ain't won down here in like 30 years, Shane. They ain't going to do it this year. October 18th, that's another win. Gets us to 6-1.
Well, it's not a loud place to play football. No, I'm just kidding. As long as the kids stick around, is that Nick Saban? Remember him? He used to bitch about the kids leaving at the third quarter. You know, you may be able to do that during this game, depending on which Tennessee quarterback shows up. But there is a part of me that always thinks, just like Bama, Georgia, Heupel, for some reason, gives Alabama fit and has, you know, since he's been there. So this could be a tricky, good football game just because I am also a diehard Orange fan, but I think Tide's got him. You know, this is, let's go back, start, kick off the, 20-year streak or whatever they had there for a second. I think you got to kick it off somewhere. This one would be a good one to do it. Alabama needs this one. It's a big game for them, brother. It's a pivotal matchup because at the back half of the schedule, if they did trip up early in the season, these are the games that keep you out of the playoffs. And I feel like that's what happened with them last year.
Yeah, and we talk about all the pressure on DeBoer, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I realize in recent history, the younger fans, you know, Auburn never goes away. That's the rivalry.
Yeah.
But LSU's right there. Now Georgia has emerged. But for some of these old heads that are writing the checks,
yeah,
Tennessee is the rivalry. You know what? Yeah. So if DeBoer goes 0-2 against Tennessee,
yeah,
I mean, his ass may be grass. You know what I mean? Like, that, yeah, it's this that big of a game. It's massively, massively important for his future that he beats Tennessee this year.
Isn't that really wild? It's a generational thing. And I feel like as the generations go, there you kind of get to these different games and they mean more a little bit. But yeah, if I were to ask my mom growing up, who's the biggest rival, she was always Alabama. She worked with somebody that was across state line and they would talk to each other for a week in emails and shit because they absolutely couldn't stand each other. But the ribbing for the next 365 days. So yes, this rivalry is getting better just because it's not as lopsided as it used to be.
Right. All right. Next game, Shane, on the road at South Carolina. They actually just posted some of the game times. I should have looked this up before we went live here. But, you know, if that's a night game,
yeah,
buddy, we know too well what can happen in that stadium at night. For Alabama's sake, I hope it's a 11 a.m. Central Time kick. You know what I mean? Like, you need it to be early if you're going to survive there sometimes. That place is a damn house of horrors. But regardless of what time this game's kicking off, I still lean Alabama. Now again, could Sellers have a Clemson type performance and take his game over? Hell yeah, he can. Yeah. Shane Beamer has beaten many, many teams as an underdog, as South Carolina's head coach, and this may be the damn toughest game outside of Georgia on the entire schedule. I really, really think South Carolina could be a special team this year. So it ain't gonna be easy, Shane, but I think Alabama has a massive talent advantage, overall talent. I'm going Alabama to get to win at South Carolina, but it ain't going to be easy.
Yeah, and it's sneaky. I mean, it's between the Tennessee and LSU matchup. It's a dangerous place to play. This could be hell, it was last year. South Carolina, I mean, you could argue South Carolina should have won that game last season. So Bama fans don't forget that. Bama players don't forget that, how close they were. So, yeah, I feel like there were some growing pains with the Tide last year, but this will be a tough, tough football game. I just think talent-wise, Bama will have too much of it, and that's why I got them winning this game.
Yeah. Now, the game that could decide playoff fate for both these teams, Shane, after 2 weeks to prepare, we get a bye week.
Yeah.
LSU comes to town, Shane, buddy. And this was so hyped last year. I can't recall if game day was there or not, but it was that type of atmosphere, night game, Death Valley, Brian Kelly. I always love these stats, and hell, I'm guilty of it too, Shane. Brian Kelly never lost a night game as LSU's head coach. Well, he got his ass whooped last year by 30 some odd points in the damn rain. So, that Alabama owned you last year. This is, I think, going to be imperative for the board that you can't beat LSU on the road and then come back year two and lose to them at home.
Yeah.
You know, that is just something Nick Saban never did, aside from the 1 year where it was the epic number one versus number two. And we all know Nick Saban got the last laugh in the national championship. So unless DeBoer beats LSU in the national championship, he won't survive losing to LSU this year. This could be an all-time classic game. I'm a little bit lower on LSU than you, I'm a little bit higher on Alabama. So give me Alabama. And I don't even know if this is particularly that close of a – I'm thinking a 10-point, 14-point ball game.
I think it's close. I think it's tight, and I think it comes down to Kelly, misusing his timeouts or something like that. that's not, we can kind of pin on Coach Kelly here, but no, I this is the rivalry. You know, we talked about the Tennessee Bama. This is the one that I grew up. It felt like whoever won this game won the West, most likely was competing for a national championship. That's how good both these programs historically have been. And I think we have a fantastic fight this year, brother. This may be the most exciting football game we watch late season next year. But if you're a Tide fan, you ain't losing to LSU. Come on, man. Get out of here. It's going to take a damn miracle for them to keep this thing close. Give me Tide by 14.
Yeah, shout out cousin Jason. He said, didn't Burrow win, Joe Burrow in Tuscaloosa? He sure did. But again, that's what it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the most dominant quarterback, I think, of all time in the SEC, at least for a single season. I mean, the guy had nearly 80% completion percentage. And I think they won by like 5 points. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's what it takes to win in this damn ball game. Now, what's it going to take to beat Oklahoma? Revenge game, Shane. Again, we just did Oklahoma. Go back and check it out if you missed it. I think Oklahoma could be one of the most improved teams, not only in the conference, but the entire nation. But I also said, buddy, you ain't walking your ass into title town and escaping with a win. I think... it's one thing to go into Alabama and get a win. It's another when you embarrassed them last year and you cost them a shot at winning the SEC, a shot at making the college football playoff. So this could be a better game, I think, than old LSU. But I got to lean Alabama. I think Alabama's marching on here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not an easy stretch. And one thing about some of these games like Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, in particular South Carolina, these are games that weren't pushovers last year. They were losses for the most part. And I believe that makes it easier for a football team like Tide to go in there not overlooking anyone. How can you overlook anyone? And who knows? You may be sitting there at a one loss coming into this thing. You got them at a one loss losing to Georgia. You trip up here, you never know. 10-2 is not a guarantee anymore. 9-3 is not a guarantee. So these late games right here, these are the ones that Tide needs to put away, and they will. Give me the Tide huge here.
And then I'm not going to waste time with old Eastern Illinois. Come on, that's a win. That means we're going to be going into the Iron Bowl, at least as I have it, Shane, at 10-1.
Yeah.
I know you probably think Auburn's going to go 11-0 up to this point. So who knows? This could be an epic showdown. It's in Jordan-Hare. It's, buddy, I mean, that place is a house of horror. Some people have it as the toughest place to play in the nation. I don't know where they get that. But at one time it was, Shane. At one time it was. Good news for Bama fans, though. Hugh Freeze still the coach down there. Get his ass out of here. Bama's going 11-1, marching our ass to the SEC championship and securing our spot in the college football playoff. I think 11-1's on the table for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think 12-0 is on the table for Crimson Tide. I told you, man, there are a lot of people that are trying to decipher who's going to be SEC's reigning champ. Who's going to go down to Atlanta and win this season? And I feel like Tide has one of, if not the best opportunity. And I'm not saying that optimistic. I'm saying that realistically. This is a ball club that realistically could end this season 12-0. So I'd be lying if I said optimistically they don't go undefeated. Give me undefeated. Tide marches on. This is a big, big year for Kalen DeBoer, Nick Saban, who, whatever. We're moving on. This is a new town, title town, son.
Oh, buddy. All right. So here's again how I've got it. Just a one loss. Shane's liking to go 12-0. What a hell of a rebound that would be. And really, I don't think that's that far-fetched. I really don't. Year two, a lot of teams make that huge jump. Now, most important game, though, Shane, or games, excuse me, top three, I think Florida State in the opener, because again, I think the whole thing could kind of go sideways on us if we lose week one. I don't think we have any business losing to Florida State, so we got to start strong. I think that LSU one at home, I think that's going to be paramount. And at Auburn, I don't know. I just, the bookends of this schedule, Florida's at Florida State, at Auburn.
Yeah.
On paper, I think Alabama's far superior than both of those teams. Mm-hmm. But God, this is college football, man, and rosters change over, and you're playing on the road. I don't think either one of those is easy. I think both are, quite frankly, I think they're losable, just like last year Oklahoma, just like last year Vanderbilt. You shoot yourself in the foot, if you make mistakes and the other team doesn't, Florida State and Auburn are losable. I don't think you lose either one of them, but that's why I think these games are so important and notable. I don't have Georgia on here.
Yeah.
Certainly you could put that on there, but you know, beating Georgia does a lot for you. I think losing to them, now that we're in this 12 team model, I don't think it hurts you at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but I mean, I could argue the same thing about Florida State. That's why I don't have it on there. Because I mean, hell, you could lose that game and be fine.
Yeah.
I just think those late games are going to have impact. I like that you picked LSU. I like that you picked Auburn. I may squeeze in a South Carolina or Tennessee in that top three because those are, again, teams that can get you and teams that, you know, make an impact. Because when we start trying to find, you know, the best four or five teams to get into this in this playoff, you're going to look at those late games. So, yeah, that other than Florida State, that's the only one I would change.
Okay. No, I get you. I don't think we're going to have a very good year if we're dropping to that damn team. You know what?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, nobody wants to lose the first game of the year, you know, but especially Florida State, because there are a lot of people are thinking about, you know, one loss or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or one win, or I don't know how many wins they had last year, but they're going to think it's the same shitty, pun intended, Florida State team coming in. And if you lose that one, I can get how the importance, but like I said, you could about say that with all SEC teams here, but you know what you can't say, Mike? We got some great cousins.
Oh.
Bryce Carter coming through at the end. For the love of God, how do I become a family member? Alabama can't handle the Hogs without Saban.
Hey, he can't be proven wrong with that comment. You know what?
No, he cannot. And Bryce, to do that, again, if you go to the show notes, there'll be a link on there. You have to open it up on your phone. And or later, if you want to get on, I believe you can do it from the channel. I think you could go there with your phone and do that. There should be a link. Just click on that, and it's $5 a month. It helps us out, especially with mailbag questions and stuff. You guys are always getting answered first. But I appreciate all the cousins that showed out here today, Mike. This was a big show. I think right now Ole Miss has got
Ole Miss.
So looks like Sunday we're gonna have a normal show. So we're gonna jump in back to teams starting Tuesday. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Just I thought I kept it up.
Wait, let me ask you one more thing about Alabama.
Yes.
While we're here.
Yeah.
I get 12-0. Yeah. I mean, obviously this is a stupid question, but even if Alabama does not go 12-0.
Yeah.
Which personally, I don't know that any team's going 12-0 anymore.
Right.
Not in this conference, not with NIL, not with the transfer. I just think it's too hard. But without knowing the record, if I were to guarantee you that four SEC teams make the college football playoff this year.
Yeah.
How confident are you that Alabama is among the four?
Almost 90%.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty high on the Tide. Right now, my top four, and I'd say the Longhorns, I would say Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. Those are the four that I would put kind of in that mix of probably going to be in the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I wanted to get you in there one more time. Hype up. He's an Alabama fan. So, yeah, we'll be back. Shane and I. Actually, I got another show dropping Saturday. So be on the lookout for that. And it's going to hit on every. So we love to hit on all the teams, but we love doing these fall camp preview series as well. So be on the lookout on the channel Saturday. We're going to drop one that hits on all the teams. And then Shane and I will be back Sunday. And then Steven Lassen, the assassin, on Monday. And then Shane and I will be back Tuesday to preview the Ole Miss Rebels.
Hell all right. Yeah.
That's going to do it. Appreciate each and every one of you. Please share, like, all that stuff. Even, maybe you hate Alabama, but you're like, hey, my cousin, my brother, my sister, my husband, whatever, likes Alabama. Share this with them. It goes a long way, and it really helps us out.
Better yet, if they hate Alabama, send it to them. Send them the link. Get them going, you know? Don't forget, just a couple of show notes, too. Don't forget, Sunday is Father's Day, I believe, right, Mike? So this is more for you, in case your dad's tuned off, but don't forget that we got Father's Day coming up. So, a lot of our dads are the reason we watch this sport. So be sure you give them something, even if it's a gift card to Cracker Barrel, it means a lot to them. Are my kids watching? I don't know, but I had King Henry in here earlier. I lost a bet, and I just thought it'd be important that we had him on the Alabama show. But Mike, that's all I got. I appreciate it. All the effort, brother, all the effort. I mean, this, it's not like you could just plug this stuff in and then pull it up. Mike works so much, so hard, not on the internet, but definitely on these the promotional stuff. It's fantastic. So thank you for all the hard work you've done, Mike.
Yeah, it took me all day. And then right before we hop on, Shane says, hey, you misspelled something. I was like, damn it, come on.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.